Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast, the first one that we've done of 2018. What a different year it's been. My name is Gavin Murphy. I'm joined by
Joseph Scrabbles. Hello.
And
Simon.
Simon what?
You'd like to know, wouldn't you?
You're about to pass your probation tomorrow. Is that big?
In a month.
Oh, month tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Come on, you wish.
All right.
Look at you, keeping an eye on the referral payments.
When's that coming trickling in? Do you reckon you'll do it?
I don't know.
Do you reckon you'll go all the way?
Ooh.
Who gets input into that?
Into whether or not, I feel like it would only. I think Alan Krupa.
I think it would only
if it was a contentious thing. Maybe more of us would get involved. Like if he was a bell end, more of a bell end.
I'm doing fine. I think the listeners would get to choose.
Got to see a few of your opinions during the course of this show might kick off.
Yeah, this is the most neutral you'll ever decide
whether or not the end of this. Cardi gets to stay.
Good idea.
I'm going to put Cardi out. Question mark. Yeah. So at the moment, you're out.
And he'll just scratch out the question mark if at the end if you're all right.
Okay.
There's an element of jeopardy to this show.
Yeah, at the moment, you're
out. This wasn't mentioned to me at any point today.
That's part of the thing. It's improv. Like SAS. It's like the SAS. You see how we roll.
Super Army Soldier.
Yeah. So we just come back off our Christmas holidays. An extra day off. I went and got my ears syringed.
Was it as satisfying as I've heard it is?
It wasn't. I'll be honest. No, I was preparing myself for something mad. I've been watching some crazy videos on
Have
YouTube.
You really?
Yeah.
Like big old flubber coming out of your ear.
And it wasn't like that at all.
I've heard it's very satisfying.
Yeah.
It's not a very nice machine. I remember having it done before, and it was like a big old syringe of water, and it was quite satisfying.
That's what I assumed it was.
But it's not. It's like an automated machine that's like pumping water, and it's going.
Did you go to the right place?
It's like a little jet thing, which obviously makes sense.
Supersonic, just broke it down with noise.
See, because I think that would have been good. But I'm going to. You're listening to this right now, so you can probably feel your own ears, because you do a little bit, don't you, when you're listening to things. You've got little earphones in, and I'm very aware of my ears when I'm listening to podcasts.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it make you miss bits?
Because I'm thinking about my ears.
Yeah. Just
just to rewind all the time.
Are your ears better, though? Do you feel better? Hey.
Yes, I feel loads better. And I can actually hear out my left ear, which I haven't been able to do for about 6 weeks.
You were off balance for a good while as well. Yeah. Falling over all over the place.
But some things that we've been having a laugh with over our Christmas holidays. Everyone has seen Black Mirror now, so we can talk about that.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't. But we're not going to talk about it in terms of spoilers and stuff anyway, because go watch it.
Too early.
It's very good. I think a lot of people are more down on some of the episodes that I kind of like. Like, lots of people down on Crocodile.
Oh, that's my second favourite, I think.
I thought it was very good.
I think Black Museum, generally, people love. I think that's the one that people... I haven't heard anyone say they don't like that one yet.
Let's talk generally.
Yeah.
Because I keep seeing people saying it's the best overall series so far.
Do you know what? I think I prefer last series generally.
No, I think there's more Duff episodes last series than there is this series.
I think they both have two. Well, I haven't seen Metalhead yet, and I've heard that one's not as good, so I can't really have an opinion.
It's not as bad as people say.
Yeah,
it's just different, and there's not. It's not like. It's just a horror film. Essentially, it's like a horror chase film.
Oh, that sounds good.
But the thing is a little robot thing.
Okay.
That is quite funny.
It's quite, at one point,
it's not Scooter the Robot Butler, is it? Because
we that'd be amazing.
Because we had confirmation from Rory that has gone missing from his attic. Yes.
No!
There was a robot-shaped hole in the roof.
Yeah.
We don't know where.
Slam through it.
Just a note written in oil. I'll always love you, Scooter.
Imagine if the troubles start again in Northern Ireland and it's Scooter troubles. Doing it.
But he's like Short Circuit 2 Johnny 5 where he punks himself up. But it's like Scooter with fucking big old choker on.
Scooter and the robot from Rocky 4 just bowling around killing people. That'd be quite good.
But no, that's basically what Metalhead is. it's like a chase thing. Also, I realized, my girlfriend realized that someone from Metalhead appears as a small, very, very small part in an old Jonathan Creek episode that I watched the other day.
Oh, that's always a bonus, person, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
always nice. A bonus. So that's good. But yeah, I do think this is, because there's only one Duff for me in this series, and it's Archangel. I think it's boring.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that one.
As the first one I watched as well, and I was like, this is boring, it's tired, and I feel like I've seen all of this before.
How do you watch Black Mirror? Do you watch it in order that it's suggested, or do you watch it based on interest?
I mixed it all up.
When we watched it, it had a different order.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they reordered them at the last minute. So Archangel was first in the first order. So I think I watched Archangel, Callister... Archangel, Callister, Metalhead, Crocodile, Hang the DJ, Black Museum.
Are any of them really long this time?
Callister's 1 hour 15.
Is it?
Yeah, it doesn't. To be 1 hour 15. No.
Jesse Plemons hanging around for too long.
Definitely.
He's brilliant.
I love Jesse Plemons.
He's so good, man.
He's got the best
he's
name.
So good, isn't it? there's an amazing bit of Jesse Plemons stuff. If you watch the trailer for Game Night.
Oh, yeah.
There's just an amazing little Jesse Plemons thing where they answer the door to him and I think he's got a dog or something like
that. It's a cat. It's a dog or a cat.
And he has this weird little face and then he just kind of walks off with this amazing smile on his face. Oh, it's so good.
I've definitely seen that trailer and I don't remember that.
Watch it again. You've got to watch it for that tiny bit. Because I'm unsure about that film, but he's really
good. It looks stupid in a currently a gratifying way, but it could so easily tip.
I think I've seen all the best bits in the trailer.
That's a worry, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, I think I saw a lot of people really loving pretty much the ones that we loved, but really, really down on Metalhead, Crocodile, and Archangel.
I keep seeing cryptic references to the show acknowledging other episodes.
There are lots of little Easter eggs.
Does a bit, yeah.
Is it?
I wouldn't say there's any major.
Maybe it has, but we've never noticed it.
I don't know if
it has. Feels like this is the first time that I feel like it's tying everything together.
Right.
Yeah, and it feels like all the same world just happening at different times and places.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that make watching a specific order useful?
I wouldn't say so.
No, but I did see a tweet, actually, from a journalist who said that there's a very subtle link between episode 2 and 3 that I didn't see, but maybe I watched them in a different order, so I didn't see. But there's also a cool, what I think and what Kruber thinks, because Kruber came up with a really good idea, actually, for a link between Metalhead and Black Museum that they hadn't thought of. And it actually makes Metalhead feel a bit better in my eyes, but I don't know.
I do like the fact that Carl Pilkington basically wrote Black Museum.
Really?
Got any credit? Have you not seen this?
I've not seen anything about it.
Well, I won't, because you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But half of it is basically his idea from the podcast, The Ricky Gervais Show.
Yeah,
because apart from Callister, which was too weird an image, I've not looked into what any of these episodes are about at all, because it's so much more fun to just
be
dropped into a Black Mirror story.
Yeah, we were lucky enough, because we had the links to them early, because Cooper was reviewing them. We were lucky enough to get to see them like quite early, so before people had gone. But it is good when you see, people tend to like it in the same one.
It's a good jolly Christmas thing, isn't it?
Yeah. You know? I'll tell you what, I rewatched the actual Christmas special that they did, though, with Jon Hamm recently, and that is way better than I remember it.
Love that episode.
I remember really disliking it.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot about it. I need to watch that one again.
It's really good.
It's like one of the most unpleasant ones as well. Like, just the way it fucks with its characters is unpleasant.
It's not nice.
Oh, it's very good.
But also, a really interesting way as well, it goes places that I didn't think it's going. Like, there's a bit right at the beginning where one guy is on a date and, like, John Hamm's coaching him.
Yes.
And then there's a bunch of other people on it as well. So I thought, oh, shit, he's selling that fee to other people as well. But then it turns out they're all helping him. Yes. I was like, okay, cool, that's really good. So it's, like, an interesting thing as well. But, yeah, here we are. Good.
It's good.
So that was good. Black Mirror. That was one thing I need to say to you.
Ooh.
One thing I noticed yesterday. you know in Kendrick Lamar's songs where he says, new Kung Fu Kenny, now and again?
Yes.
Do you know what Kung Fu Kenny is?
No.
Because I was like, New Year's Eve, before I was going out, I was like, I'm fucking done with this Kung Fu Kenny thing. I'm finding out where it's from. Because you're like, now and again...
Were you treating it like it was a cryptic crossword puzzle or something?
Probably
like, no, because like, it was one of those things I like, keep meaning to Google, but just never do it. And like... Because at the start of a bunch of his songs, then he did like a short film about this character, Kung Fu Kenny.
What?
So in a bunch of, if you don't know what it is, people at home, a bunch of start of lots of Kendrick Lamar songs, someone just shout out, new Kung Fu Kenny! And it always gets in my head and I shout it around my own flat.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Kenny is in Rush Hour 2.
What?
He's Don Cheadle's character. Don Cheadle's character is called Kung Fu Kenny.
He's not called Kenny.
He is. That's what he's based on.
What?
Yeah, I know. Mental,
I didn't know
it
was...
Didn't know it was like yesterday.
Deep Rush Hour 2 lore going around.
Things you learn.
Yeah.
He's really good in that.
So that was one of the things I had a laugh with on my Christmas holiday. Yeah, because then I watched the Kung Fu Kenny scene of Rush Hour 2 because I never seen it. Still good. It holds up.
Oh, mate. It's always good.
Probably a bit racist, but it's fine.
Look,
well, it's not
it.
Fine. racism is not good, even if it is in Rush Hour 2.
Not even at Christmas.
Not even at Christmas. Joe, what do you do on your Christmas holidays?
Well, I was going to talk about how we bought my dad a drone and then flew it around a bit, but then something you said just reminded me of something else that I did, which was watch my first ever episode of Jonathan Creek.
Oh, I thought you were going to say turn into a racist or something.
No! Something you said reminded me that I blacked up and did a Chris Tucker impression.
An Antoine Griezmann.
Yeah, like a bit of a Griezmann attitude. No, I watched Black Canary, which you talked about.
Yeah.
I think on podcast, actually.
Oh, right, yeah.
That is a fun show, isn't it?
It's a Christmas special, that was, as well, at one point.
I didn't realise how stupid it was.
Yeah.
And, like, how rude. There's loads of rude jokes.
Yeah.
It's
naughty.
Me.
It's a bit blue.
There's a bit where the guy says a woman's got a swastika as a piercing.
Yeah, that's a thing. There's
it's
some
very odd.
There's some stuff pitched so poorly.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I would say, if you discount all the shite episodes and just go for the good ones, which is all of Caroline Quentin and one or two Sheridan Smith ones, like out of those, 70% of the mysteries are brilliant.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of mad stuff, particularly his fucking the magician.
He's
Adam Klaus.
Unbelievably bad.
It's unbelievable.
That's an English man playing that part, right?
Obviously,
because
his
accent's completely all over the place. You very rarely hear that way around.
Yeah.
Like, you hear a lot of Americans doing bad British accents.
I don't know who that guy is, but I'm pretty sure he never got any work after John.
You can't have that. Absolute shocker.
Do you know who played the original Adam Klaus in the very first episode of Jonathan Creek? Anthony Stewart Head.
Oh, that'd be so much better.
Yeah, then he went off to Buffy instead.
Yeah, fair play, that's better.
Yeah. needless to say, he had the last laugh.
What's he done since? What was the other thing in that? There was something in... just Rick Mayall being amazing.
Oh, like, yeah, Rick Mayall's
so easy to forget.
Yeah, because me and my girlfriend watched that recently, and I think I talked about it.
Yeah.
And then you went and watched it. And the other day, we were watching the one that comes before it, and it came up again. And Clara hadn't realised that, like, Rick Mayall was... like, it was the episode we just watched. She was like, oh, is it another one? I was like, no, this is one we just watched. It was New Year's Day. She was like... Should we just watch this one? I was like, we can't watch it again.
Oh, that's mad, isn't it?
That's an hour and a half.
That's big.
Yeah.
The joke about the character called Mr. Belendium, and he calls it, he refers to a man with a name that sounds like a disease of the foreskin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Absolutely perfect.
Crazy, yeah.
Loved it. He's clearly come up with that on the spot.
Yeah.
And they've just been like, it's Rick Mayall, we better leave it in.
Because he's amazing in that. But also, you have to remember as well, the guy who did it, David Renwick, did fucking One Foot in the Grave. And sometimes you just go, yeah, you're not a funny man. But he writes these really good mysteries now and again. Like, I actually think the mystery part of the murder, even though it's utter bullshit,
it's good.
Is great.
That's what you want. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Nice. It's
terrible.
Well done.
That's me gone.
Yeah, I'm stopping now. Go on, what is it you do over Christmas?
What is it I do? You don't know what I want to do.
No. Let's talk about this mystery. How good it is.
Jonathan Creek again.
It's good. I like that it turns out to just be an illusion that someone's gone. Why not?
Yeah.
Well, I won't watch that.
No, it doesn't
spoil anything.
I won't watch it anyway.
It's extremely clear that that's what's happened.
Yeah. Bit prestige-y as well?
A little bit.
Yeah,
okay.
Bit prestige-y.
One of the scenes of her death is extremely harrowing.
Oh, horrible, yeah.
I wasn't really expecting that either.
I didn't really watch much over Christmas. I ended up just kind of playing a lot of games I should have last year.
Yeah.
So I finally got round to What Remains of Edith Finch.
Best.
Absolutely incredible.
I still haven't played it.
I'm at a point now where I thought about it enough and I think it's better than Super Mario Odyssey. So it's my second best game of the year.
I slotted it in at 3, but just behind Mario.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was blown away.
It's unbelievable. It's such a... It's the best... It's the best, like, pure game story I've played for a long time. Like, the way it tells it and the way it's telling it.
And the way it links to something else as well. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Oh, it's just... It's fantastic.
I wish I could play it again, but I really don't want to.
I think it was... I think it was Lucy James said, like, it's the one game she wishes she could Eternal Sunshine herself into playing again.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. It would be...
I might get my sister or something to play it just so I can kind of watch it.
Yeah.
How long does it take to play?
2 to 3 hours.
Nice.
Yeah. It's really compact and like never outstays its welcome. Because the thing that people who don't know what Edith Finch is can't get because no one can explain it to it without ruining them. It's not a walking simulator. It's a game in which you walk between different things happening.
Okay. Yeah.
And it does that in more and more interesting ways.
Yeah.
And I'd say it's very hard not to do one go. I just went straight.
Oh, yeah, I would not have been able to stop and start that again.
Because it was on my list of... Because, like, at Christmas, when I go to do stuff, I make a list of stuff that I've missed out, like films, TV shows, and games. And that was top.
Right.
But fucking Virgin Media, my internet went off 2 days before... before we broke up for Christmas, it's not being switched back on till January 10th.
That's an absolute disgrace.
Because there's a wire loose somewhere. Honest to God, like if anybody listens to this podcast...
They're just stopping you downloading what you normally do.
Yeah. If anybody listens to the podcast, think about going Virgin Media. Do not fucking go for Virgin
Media. I've got Virgin Media. It's absolutely fine.
They're terrible.
They're terrible in my flat in Finsbury Park as well.
Yeah.
No, but
like,
fine.
The internet when it works is fine. It's just like, I waited in all day for this guy to come. He turns up at 7 o'clock in the night, comes in and goes... there's a wire loose underground, so I can't do anything. But don't worry, I've made an appointment for you, January 10th. And I was like, what?
How's a wire getting loose underground?
I know.
How's it taking 3 weeks to
mental?
They've done that. That's them.
Edith Finch was brilliant.
Yeah.
Also, I've been trying to get into Assassin's Creed.
What is this? Oh, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Because it was down as Assassins. I was like, ooh, I don't know what this is.
You're in games, mate. You should be able to work that out.
No, but I thought it was like a...
You looked up Kung Fu Kenny.
For some reason, because it was next Sexy Brutal, I was like, oh, it's like another cool like Switch
spoiled.
Game.
That's coming up next, haven't you?
No respect.
But I just can't do it. 4 times now, I've turned on Assassins, played it for about half an hour and gone, it's overwhelming me at the moment.
So the way I got into it was... It starts quite badly, by the way. Like, it gets better. I've played about 3 hours now. But the way to get into it is me and my friend at New Year's were doing nothing else. So I was just like, oh, I've got the new Assassins. Do you want to turn it on? So he was like, yeah. We both got obsessed with this YouTube video of a frog jumping off a bridge. And as it jumps off, it goes into slow motion and it plays the start of Piano Man.
Nice.
And for some reason... We both find that fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And so our entire evening was spent finding the biggest cliff, carrying a body all the way up, and then just re-recording that and making it again. That's how you play Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. I watched this video.
It was good.
Yeah.
Good. Don't say anything else about it. But it has a really weird 2-hour cold open where I thought I'd skipped a cutscene for a long time.
Okay.
And then 2 hours in...
Yeah.
Big title sequence comes up and goes like Assassin's Creed Origins, and you're like,
I thought I was done.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, it's really strange.
Okay,
but I think it's weird because Assassin's Creed games, you're so used to being funneled from place to place across an open world.
Yeah.
This one is just like,
do what you want?
See you later.
Exactly. It opened up, and I was like, I had about 6 side quests I could do. I was just like, well, where's the main
quest? Yeah. But I feel bad about criticizing it for that, because I've criticized Assassin's Creed so often for wasting its open world.
Yeah.
That to be given one and then go, it's too big, guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really fair. So, yeah, I've gone about 3 hours in, gone to the next major area, and it seems like I hope the story gets a bit more interesting there.
Yeah.
But that openness actually is quite cool once you come to terms with it.
I fear it's one I'm just never going to get around.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a bit worried about that as well.
Yeah, but my girlfriend's finished it, and she explained it all to me when we were out the other night. And it was quite nice having someone. I was like, I'm never going to play it. So she went through everything, like beat for beat, and all the best bits of it. And I was like, that was lovely to listen to.
Well, I just got
I'll
to
the, never play that.
I just got to the first modern bit, and I'm quite intrigued by
there
it.
There is modern bits.
There
I
is.
Didn't know that
so that's the end of the that's the end of the cold open.
Yeah.
it actually it seems cool, but like you say, it's one of those things I might just never get round to.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
I had a bang on Wolfenstein, which I was putting off mostly because I'd done like 2 massive preview events of it.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought I'd played quite a lot of it. I have played quite a lot at the beginning, it turns out. Mm. But I just, what that meant was I just absolutely raced through it. I properly love it.
It's the epitome of a game that I enjoy most on easy mode.
Oh, absolutely.
Every time I got, because I played half of it on normal and was like,
it's insane.
Fuck this. Like,
yeah.
The shooting doesn't feel good. It's like sacrilege to say your Wolfenstein doesn't feel good in shooting.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
No.
I don't know how that's the same thing as the same engine as Doom, because Doom feels twice as good to play.
Yeah.
But bang it down to easy and just get through the storyline.
Oh, absolutely.
It's fucking brilliant.
It's so good.
Again, like, it's weird because I played it relatively close to Edith Finch.
Yeah.
Again, it tells like a really satisfying story.
Yeah.
Quite compactly and really interestingly.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going fucking mad as well. Like the number of times it steps into insanity.
I think I'm only about a third way through something like that. I do like, there's so much of it that I absolutely love, and I think it's one of the games I've played most where I just burst out laughing at bits all the time, because it's just like, even just running up and pegging at a ladder just makes me really laugh. And it's just like, because you just go, oh, I need to go back up the ladder, you just go like he runs so quickly. It's brilliant. I love the melee attacks in it. Mm-hmm. Like whenever I can, I'm going in melee.
Yeah.
Because
you
it's just brilliant.
People, don't you?
But I wish there was a little more, because like there's a lot of you can mix up the way that you know you can like upgrade your guns, and you can mix up like what hands you got your guns in if you want to like go in double barreled and stuff.
But you've just got a hatchet.
Yeah. And also you don't get to choose, because there's a couple of different melee attacks, but you don't get to choose really when one you do. And like now and again, it feels like I don't really have any control over which animation gets to play, and I wish I had a little bit more than that, because that would make more sense.
Even if it just... what it needs one or the other. You need to be able to choose, or there need to be fucking tons of them. Like, again, Doom, it's melee attacks.
Yeah.
Firstly, depend on the thing you're killing, and they're insane, and then what side you're on, and then there's more within those, and it's just fucking brilliant. Like, just the number of ways you can tear a demon's jaw off and beat it with it. It's good.
Yeah. I'm glad I went and had a go with that, because I wasn't going to play it for ages.
So you're only a third in?
Only a third in,
Oh my
God.
Like,
again, a Christmas treat.
There's one bit where the story handles something so insane, so casually, that I was like, well, this is one of the best game stories ever. Like, something happens where everyone treats it as totally normal, and you're just going, what the fuck is going on? It's so brilliant.
Awesome.
Oh,
Another little one I've had a go on is Sexy Brutale. I know you finished it, Joe.
I finished that.
You finished it?
Yeah.
I'm about third, halfway through, I think.
Okay.
I'm playing it on Switch. Did you play on Switch? I think it runs okay.
They did patch it. Oh, so it ran way worse when it came out.
Well, there we go.
But it's basically workable.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah, it judders a bit, and there's long loading screens between rooms. Like, so you move everywhere as a single room and you move between them.
Yeah.
And sometimes you walk into one and then it's like 10 seconds of going, not ready yet. And then it gets there.
So if you don't know what it is, it's kind of a time travel murder mystery
game. Like Groundhog Day murder mystery is a sort of reductive way of putting it.
And it's fun. It kind of gives a lot of information to you at the start, a lot of different mechanics, and it feels overwhelming. That's how... So I started playing like 2 a.m. in bed, and I was like, what am I doing here? And then I forgot all of them in the morning. So
we played it at a preview event, and we had a guy explaining it to us. And it was like this mad thing where we were trying to be really polite and just being like, I reckon we go look at each other. What the fuck is this game? Yeah. And then when we play, we're like, because when you click with it, then you're like, oh my god, this is brilliant.
And that's the thing. I was playing it, and then I kind of solved the first one very quick, and I was like, oh right, is that it? I thought it was almost too easy.
You're having exactly the right impulse. That game does not make the most of that mechanic in any way. Like, so many. There's 8 or 9 major puzzles to solve all the way through. I'd say 6 of those are solved by doing one thing, which is mad.
And I can't even stumble across it. I didn't feel like I worked it out. I just kind of did one thing. I thought, oh, let's try this, see if it works, and it just did it. Just
and
did
that was work. It. Yeah. I was like, okay. It's really weird because you expect, especially with time travel, you expect the kind of key to it to be change that thing to make this thing happen, change that thing to make this thing happen, like changing the course of time. And you just don't. Uh-huh. And the other weird thing about it is, and this would be impossible to wrangle, but solving a puzzle doesn't change that thing happening forever. So as soon as you finish the puzzle, you go to the next one, and you know there's something really unsatisfying about knowing that that thing's still happening.
Yeah. But you've changed it.
You haven't. You haven't. Oh. You've just, you gain, like, solving most puzzles gives you a new ability.
Right.
So the idea is that within the kind of grand fantasy, you've solved something well enough for one time for it to be fixed. They give you an ability as a reward.
Yeah.
And it just keeps happening forever. And there's something really unsatisfying about it, because it does this. The amazing thing about Sexy Brutale is how cohesive this one place is. Despite all the rooms being separate, you have this sense that everywhere is still connected. So you hear the gunshot at from the first puzzle.
Right, okay, yeah.
Every time you play at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And you get to know every single noise that means something's happened. And as you play through the game, those noises resolve into, like, the story of that day.
Yeah.
So it's the gunshot happened over here, the bell rings over here, like, all these things happen.
But ultimately, you're not really achieving.
But so it's not when you solve that bit, and then for the end bit, then you go through using all the abilities you've done to actually finally solve every single bit in order.
I can't explain to you why that's
okay.
It's not that way, and it's more satisfying than that sounds, because I think the actual ending of the story is really good.
Okay, sweet.
The kind of grand conceit is explained, and you go, oh, fuck, and it's much darker than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But it's that feeling of solving something, not solving the situation, feels really wrong.
Yeah. Mm.
But the fabric of that place is so nice. And think little things like every time you load into a single room, there's this sense of like, oh, I'm enclosed. And then you hear someone like shuffling around in the next door room. Like everything's still being simulated around you. You just can't see it.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. It feels amazing.
It's
to
still
be in
good.
A place.
It's really tense.
Yeah.
It is fun. It looks great.
Yeah.
And sounds, I like the music quite a bit.
I really hope it's done well, because I want them to make another one so much, and I want it to just be more complicated. I want, because I wanted to feel like, how on earth do I solve this problem, and then have to go back in time, fix this, back in time, fix this. And only really once did I have this feeling of like, I've learned everything that's happening, and I'm like the master of time.
Yeah.
Like, there was one bit where I was like, fuck, I know where I everyone is right now. Yeah. Like,
I'll definitely finish it. It's not that long, is it?
No,
it's 6-7 hours roughly.
I'd say 6. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It was. Yeah, and I think the story's really satisfying, so it's worth getting to.
And
the
I say
end
like
of.
15 quid. So
yeah,
you know,
good stuff.
Good stuff.
Bangers. So those are some of the games we caught up on. Joe, you watch something. I watch something with my mum. A little thing called Bright.
Yeah.
Which is Netflix's, like, biggest movie to date. Isn't it made for some daft, like, $80 million or something like
really?
That? Yeah, it's really expensive. Like there are some bits that do look really expensive. Like, because I knew that, when I was watching this, I was like, this scene doesn't need to happen, but I bet it costs loads.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things where there's, like, loads of people just shoot loads of machine guns at a big, like, in a big warehouse and just, like, take this out.
I haven't seen it, so what is the actual outline? I know very little about this film, just because it just doesn't really seem to interest me.
David Ayer, who ignore Suicide Squad.
Yeah. I did see the trailer and think, this looks a bit like Suicide Squad.
Yeah. It's not there.
No, he wrote Training Day, famously, and then started directing films essentially like Training Day.
Yeah.
So he did End of Watch, and he did Fury, which is very good.
He likes
good.
The police.
He likes the police and the armed forces.
I didn't know he did Fury.
Yeah, he did Fury. And now he's done Bright, which is set in a world. It's a cop movie, a buddy cop movie, bare bones,
okay.
Where orcs and fairies just live in our world.
Is it based on a book or a comic or anything?
It's not. Oh, I don't know, actually. No, but no. There are things like, is it Shadowrun, which is a fantasy world set in the future from fantasy, if you see what I mean. So yeah. This is essentially like, you know, medieval fantasy games. Mm-hmm. Imagine 2,000 years later.
Yes.
This is, and okay. If those were Earth,
yeah.
This is medieval to contemporary in that fantasy world.
Which. So you have all these like weird fantasy bits, but then it's a modern David Ayer, like End of Watch style thing where Will Smith's character has been chucked together with...
Is it Joel Edgerton?
Yes, Joel Edgerton playing a big orc. Yeah.
The LAPD's first ever orcish officer.
Yeah. Oh.
Some progressiveness.
Well, it is the most on-the-nose progressive message.
It really is.
I should point out, I do not understand people who don't like Wright.
I think this is why we put it in, basically, is I came to it because my mum wanted to watch it, and I'd heard it was so... I actually kind of liked the trailer when I first saw it, and I was like, I'm into it. Will Smith, like Netflix's first big film. Mm. But then everyone has given it a paste in. I think, actually, we reviewed it as good.
Does it sound like people made their mind up before
that?
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But everyone gave it a paste in and said it's like the worst film of the year and all this different shit. But then my mum on, like, I think it was like one of the Christmases days, like, and it was like in between Christmas and New Year, was like, oh, can we watch, because I had Netflix. And she's like, oh, can we watch that Bright? I've heard about that. So we watched that, and I said to her, it's meant to be really bad mind, but she doesn't mind because she watches shit films. It is not the worst film of the year.
I think it's like towards good. Like,
it's not perfectly fine.
Yeah. It does everything I wanted. Like,
yeah.
Cards on the table, everyone knows. I like buddy cop films about people of different races. And this certainly is in my wheelhouse. I think their dynamic is really good.
Yeah.
Like, they really play off each other well.
Yeah.
Hearing Will Smith swear is still exciting to me.
Absolutely.
I don't know why, but he's a lot of fucks.
Why is it called Bright?
Bright is the term for someone who can wield a magic wand.
Yeah.
Should know that, shouldn't I?
It's also the thing that I thought it was fine.
Yep.
Like, but I think my main problem with it is I think it pitches it way too big. I wanted literally Training Day, like, which is such a small film with, you do kind of get like a little heisty element to it, but essentially it's people riding around going from house to house speaking to people. And that's what I wanted with this. I just wanted, I think the idea of the world is good enough that I just want to spend time in that world. But then what this does, it introduces like a big old like plot thing.
Yeah.
And they build towards that.
Well, the weird thing about it is they set up this very tiered world. So it's like orcs. Actually, let's get into this. Orcs are so clearly non-white.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole point of their depiction.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is slightly complicated when the lore of that world is everyone hates orcs because they were actually evil 2,000 years ago. Like, you can't get away with having both sides of that.
It's problematic.
Putting that to one side, orcs are like super, super low class and don't want to be a part of society as it is.
Yeah.
They still have like clans and things.
Okay.
Humans are sort of in the middle, and elves are essentially super white people who live in like the high rises and like the downtown LA kind of area. And you're given this setup really early on, and then you basically never see elves again.
Yeah.
Like, there are some elvish characters, but there's no connection to that at all. And I thought it was going to be like conspiracy from above, like more societal.
Oh, that would have been so much better.
Yeah. And what it is like, they say this in the trailer, there's a magic wand, which is essentially a nuclear weapon that grants wishes.
Why is everything now, first film, let's have a world-ending threat?
Yeah.
They start so big. You can't get bigger.
Exactly.
And now they've announced a sequel. What's that going to be?
I know. Yeah.
Maybe that'll be like a prequel-y sequel. That'll be really good.
Yeah, when you get... Because it starts...
With
post,
something massive happen,
it starts post...
2,000 years ago, it'd just be Lord of the Rings.
No, you don't want that. You want in this world, but... That's the thing... the thing I couldn't get my head around is how long they'd been partners before. It doesn't sound like they've been partners long.
It seemed
because people were still having a go.
It seemed to me like it had been like a month.
Right.
Then this big thing happens.
Yeah.
And then the film starts.
Yeah.
I think they're going to reveal it's just True Detective Season 3.
I would fucking love that.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, I have like a little detective thing.
After it finished, I went, You know what would be cool?
Yeah.
Is a series about that. Now.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like six episodes of them doing police work.
Yeah.
Be fantastic. I would love that.
But it just happens to be in the backdrop of this. That's why there's an amazing Gotham Central. It's like a comic series. Is it Gotham Central?
I've definitely heard of that.
Yes, okay.
That's the one where it's about the police.
It's about the police, yeah. So it's basically like they're solving stuff and then Batman and everything else is just sort of in the backdrop.
Yep.
It's about the other characters. And I kind of feel like that would be a good thing for this. It's like you have all these auction shit going around, but it's just these people going around doing detective stuff.
I've talked about it before in another comic, Hawkeye, which is about Hawkeye when he's not in... doing Avengers just living his life.
Yeah.
And it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, so good. Because, again, and it actually works if Bright's the first thing. Doesn't matter if there's a world-ending threat. You've been introduced to everything ridiculous in a context in which it all stops. Like, that threat is over.
Yeah.
Take us back to that place with no work you have to do for us. Just say you have to, that's the feature length. That's Battlestar Galactica episode one.
Yeah.
And then here's your series and you just get on with it.
I really hope that would be really good.
They're not going to do it because they've said they're making a sequel with a movie. But
that's the thing. But even if it was just like some kind of murder mystery or something like that. Because I think that's the best thing. Like I read all the Fables and that's the best thing about that. Like that starts with a murder mystery.
I really like that Telltale series.
Yeah, it's really good. But like the original comic run, if you like, you can buy in a graphic novel, is very good. And that's I guess it's kind of sort of comparable to this, although they are not outwardly magical in front of like all the humans.
This is that weird feeling of I think I'm convincing myself I like the film more because I like what I think it
should
be.
It's
not good in and of itself.
No,
necessarily.
You just sat at home and watch it, and you know, pay £15 at the cinema, and
exactly. Yeah. That's why so much Netflix stuff is great. Like,
I'm
surprised Bright hasn't been given an easier ride just because of that.
Yeah,
people will fucking
hate
it.
I just think people don't like the people who made it. And,
yeah,
they've already made up their mind. Yeah,
it's not cool to like Will Smith anymore either.
Ridley Scott says an interesting thing in that we've just been reading this interview on, is it Vulture's on or something?
Yes,
possibly.
It's a
go with it.
Site
or Esquire maybe. But anyway, it's a decent interview, which you might not be able to find now. But it's basically the one where he has been quoted a lot from it, where he says he thinks it's madness that these indie directors have been given Star Wars films, basically. He's been quoted. I saw that, but it's that interview. But yeah, he says he watches so much Netflix. He's just like, they're putting out a lot of stuff, but maybe they're not looking at the quality of it. But and then the interviewer says, they're going to release a movie a week in 2018. He was like, that's fucking perfect for me. I watch a film a day.
So is that what they're doing?
Two films a week they've got coming out.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know.
One of those will be Mute, and I'm excited about that.
That's the thing, it is worrying because he's like, instead of doing all that, they should just be really ramping down on the actual quality of it rather than just being like...
I'm kind of fine for Netflix to just bust stuff out. Let Hollywood do its thing.
Yeah.
And let Netflix do their thing. Because they're becoming a sort of between A and B movie thing.
Yeah.
Now. Like, there's just good stuff.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't necessarily go and watch in the cinema.
Yeah.
Of my own volition.
Yeah, I suppose.
I would never have watched Bright in a cinema.
Absolutely not.
But
never.
I did.
Do you know what film I wish I had seen in the cinema that I watched at the end of last year? It was Mother.
Ooh,
if I'd seen
nice.
If I'd
that
seen
was
that,
good.
If I'd seen that in the cinema, I reckon I would have been blown away.
Well, that was on my
and
list.
I kind of was when I watched it at home, to be honest.
That was on my list of stuff to watch, and then you and the, but it was also on my list of stuff that I knew I should have been watching, but look heavy as fuck.
Yeah,
like Moonlight. I watched that still, and I wish I had.
You watched La La Land though, didn't you? For the first time.
I watched La La Land on Christmas Day,
and that's just magical.
Thought it was brilliant.
No,
what a laugh!
It's good.
Just really good. Yeah. I don't think I need to see it again. Ever.
Oh, I need to see it.
You've seen it loads
regularly.
You?
Oh,
maniac.
I'll just watch clips. You can. Just put a song on though, can't you?
Yeah, I watched it with my nan. That was really good. I just thought Emma Stone's character was just a bit of a dick.
Really?
Yeah.
I think she's okay.
I mean, they're both kind of dicks.
Yeah.
Isn't that the point?
Yeah. I just thought her more.
They're both very driven.
Because I just thought because he gets success before she does, that is the problem.
Yeah.
Whereas I wonder what it would be like if it had been flipped. Like, I kind of feel like he would have gone along with it and he just had his nice little club.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But there we are.
I don't know.
But yeah, no.
Mother.
You watch Mother and then you said...
I basically told people, can someone else watch it because I need someone to talk about this film.
Yeah.
It's mad.
I still haven't. I'm really annoyed.
I'd watch it.
I want to a lot.
Without building it up, I was like, I fucking loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it is one of those. Like, it's a I don't remember the last time it's stuff split opinion this
way.
Yeah, I remember when it came out, I think more people, I saw more people absolutely panning it than liking it. But now,
Oh, shit, we actually got an email from someone who said that they wanted to do, I think it was like a PR or something like that. I think we got an email saying, like, would we be up for doing a panel? Had we seen Mother? What do we think of it? And did we want to come on a panel of journalists? Because I think they were kind of owning the sort of the rift between people.
Yeah.
So going like they're going to have like a some journalists are, like thing was brilliant. Other people saying it wasn't as good. I fucking loved it.
Yeah, and when you fully understand, it's one of those maybe on face value you don't quite understand what happened.
But I think
if you read, for me, when I was reading more afterwards, and maybe a lot of people. I kind of agree with that opinion that if you don't see what the film's about at first glance, then it's not doing its job. But I think at the same time, if you read about what he was going for, then you realise it all makes complete sense.
But I think for me,
without ruining
the first when
what
you
it's about,
the first half can be about. I think the first half is easier to follow, and then it basically goes off. But it goes. I feel like it goes off in a. I think even if you don't understand exactly what they are, I think it goes off in like a way that you can understand that it's big.
I didn't think it was going to go where it went because you think, oh, right, oh, this has got mad, and then it just keeps getting mad. For the last half an hour to 40 minutes, it just gets weirder and weirder and weirder.
It's the Wolfenstein of films.
But the thing that I find really interesting about it is, as you said, like when you read... Like, you read after, like, what he was trying to do with it. And because there's no, like, black or white with it, there's not, like, oh, well, I think this could be this.
Oh, he's literally
like,
a thing.
He's like, this is this, she is this, he is this.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
And once you realise that, it's actually really obvious.
Well, that's the thing, because I don't think it's as airy-fairy as people think, where people are like, oh, you know, it's metaphorical, could be this. He's like, no. This is this, this is what this is, and he fucking goes for it.
Super happy about that, because I thought all this discussion was...
Yeah, oh, it could be this, it could be that. Yeah, no, he came out and he literally goes, this is what this is what she is, this is who he is, and he goes
and
all the way
through
it.
And even every interview, Jennifer Lawrence is like, I play this character, and this is what this means.
You don't get many allegories these days. That's good.
And that's the thing, I was just like, this is fucking bang on. And I didn't know that before watching it, but I think you can pick up on subtle things, because at the first half for me reminded me of...
Well, even the credits tell you, if you look close enough, which is weird.
Am I just going to guess it now that you've told me all this stuff?
I think it's not like a thing you can guess. I think you... No, I think... Because I got, like... Even though I didn't get who exactly they were, I got what it was.
You might get what he's going for, but I don't think you'll understand that every character is a specific someone.
No, right. That's fair enough.
If I hated Black Swan, am I going to hate this?
I don't think so, no.
I definitely hate Black Swan.
I like Black Swan. Yeah. The first half of this reminded me of like... I wish I'd looked up what the fucking film was. It might be Control. I know there's another film called Control.
Not the
Joy Division one. I think it's called Control. It's a film with like John C. Reilly, Jodie Foster in. And I think it's a remake of a play. And it's basically like a central conceit.
Catastrophe,
that's what it is, yeah. And it has like four people in, four parents in a flat.
Isn't it Kate Winslet as well? And
I think Kate
Winslet,
who's
it from Inglourious Basterds? What's his name?
Oh, it is, yeah.
Eli Roth.
Nazi.
Waltz.
Yes, Christoph Waltz. It is, you're right. And basically, something happens. These four adults have to deal with it. And they do things, and people act in a way that you go, you're meant, like, it's very in European film in that way, where you just go, fuck, if someone was doing that in my house, I would think this. Like, and it's very much like that. It's kind of like Force Majeure as well, it reminded me of, where something happens, and one character is reacting to that in a way that you're just like, why would you ever react like that?
Yeah.
And like the first half of the film is that, and then it goes mental.
Okay.
But I loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. I'm always up for a bit of madness. And
I didn't do like a list this year, but I put that very close.
I did my top 10 foolishly before I watched it, and it would have got in somewhere around, I don't know.
Well, lists are mad anyway, because I was talking about Last Jedi with you, and you were like, it was good. Number four on your list. That's mental.
I said it was very good. It's just because I didn't like it as much as other people.
Well, you liked it, but number four?
Yeah.
Bollocks.
There was some...
I'm really interested to see what you think of it, though. You should watch it.
I might watch it tonight.
Yeah, it's very good.
I've got nothing on.
Very good.
Do it.
We were going to talk about Inside Number 9, but we're slowly getting on.
There is one more thing I did over Christmas, though, which is play about 100 hours of Football Manager.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah. Jingle in here.
Oh.
Oh, no, nah. We haven't been sat on it.
Do, Blackburn.
God, he's playing Football Manager again. Hello.
Yeah.
We're Blackburn.
We're Blackburn.
There's no way you're still with Blackburn.
Yeah, yeah.
What, are you 21?
I've gone on since then. I'm about 2024 now.
Nice.
Played about 3 seasons in 2 weeks. That's how I roll.
That's so much work.
I don't simulate either, you know.
No, of course
But
not.
I just play whenever if I'm watching something, I'm playing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, right, yeah, yeah.
It's constantly there.
What, even like a film?
Yeah.
Even Mother. You had Football Manager on the background when you were watching Mother.
Yeah,
that's mental.
I found out.
It's very passive.
I had to put Mother?
No, Football Manager.
I had to put my phone in the kitchen. I put my phone in the kitchen because I was like, this is a kitchen phone film.
I'm very used to it.
You've got an open plan living room. That's bullshit.
I wash in my room.
Oh, okay.
I lay in bed.
I have recently had a nightmare, though, because in my game, they've moved the summer transfer window deadline to the game before the first game of the Premier League season.
Mm. Right.
But, like, the Spanish, Italian, French ones are still open to the end of the month. So they're open for 2 weeks after. So I have this great young Brazilian midfielder who has a release. I didn't want to sell him. Yeah. He had a release clause of 79 million, which is, you know, very high.
That's healthy.
I rejected 60. So then after my transfer deadline day ends, I'm like very happy with my squad.
Yeah.
1 week later, PSG release clause. Exactly. 79 million, whatever it is. He's sold. So then, great, I have 80 million spent now, but 4 months without a centre midfielder.
Yeah.
What's going on there? Sort it out, Paris.
That is actually pretty shit.
Yeah. But yeah, it is.
That is the world, though.
If I could lodge a complaint to FIFA, I would.
Oh, yeah, which I sadly have not listened to the first part of the Football Manager update from this podcast.
Very sad,
I know that is bad, because I actually would genuinely be interested. Yeah, yeah. Unlike the irony from some other people in the office. I fucking love it. What happened with your Brexit?
My Brexit? What was the old... We left, fully left.
Yeah. Hard
so
Brexit.
I don't have to apply to EU. I'm not going through this again. I forgot.
Did you already cover this?
But
yeah.
That interests me.
So yeah, I've got a bit of money to spend in January, but no centre midfield. But I am currently third, so I'm having a good time.
But you've just got this money sitting there now.
Yeah, but I'm investing it in some Brazilian youth. I'm going around Flamengo, Fluminense. I'm having a look, seeing what they've got to offer. Got a 17-year-old left-back coming in. He's going to set the world on fire. Roberto Carlos, Mark II.
I love that you're
bought Ben Woodburn.
Did you?
Yeah.
What do you go for?
I think I'll go him on the relative cheap.
Yeah, you were
like 15 good. Million or so.
Yeah, because how old is he now? He's 20?
He's about 25. No, he's
is
about
he?
No, in my game.
In real life,
he's probably about 18, 19.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to work out.
I've been signing up. He's got Phil Foden, England World Cup hero.
Yeah. Love Phil Foden.
Yeah. Dak's gone. No need for Bradley Dak anymore. So, got Phil Foden.
What about, what was that guy called? You bought someone called Magnificent someone.
Marvellous Nakamba.
Marvellous Nakamba.
Zimbabwean. He did a good job for me for 2 years. He got a book in every game, though. I couldn't rely on him. I was missing him for
too much,
10 games a season. He's getting sent off all the time. mad. What else have I done? I signed someone from Man U called Kyle Lancashire. He's a regen. Born to play for the club, Lancashire.
Exactly, he smashed it.
So, yeah. And he's a good player.
Won the lottery there.
Young player of the year last year.
When you said the thing about going around the favelas.
No, Flamengo and Flamengo. Clubs. I'm not going around the favelas. I'm not personally scouting. Oh, he's good with an orange. Get him in. Get him out.
I was on a trip once. It was for Assassin's Creed Black Flag. And I got hammered with... I think he was like the assistant director or something like that on the game on Black Flag.
Yeah,
he's this British dude, and like I can't remember who made Black Flag. Was Montreal made Black Flag?
It sounds right. They're usually the ones who make the fun ones.
So I got to talk to him. I was like, "Fuck hell," because he was from London, and I was like, "Oh, how did you get this job?" If you don't mind me asking. And he was like, my wife got a job teaching in Vancouver. So I went to Vancouver with her. Didn't have a job for ages. And then a friend of mine said, don't they make FIFA in Vancouver? And he was like, I don't know. He's like, oh, well, you know, you're an Arsenal fan. Like, you know, you've been you've been like every like Arsenal game, home game for the last blah, blah, blah years, blah, blah. Just go see if they've got anything going. And he's like, all right. So he went out. They fucking gave him a job.
What? Doing what?
Just like this fucking Arsenal fan just knocks on the front, in my head, knocks on the front door of EA Vancouver in his Arsenal shirt. And he's just like, all right, I'm English. I love football. You make football. Guess a job. They gave him a job, and his first job, he told me, was basically they gave him a video camera and sent him to Brazil to do all the research for FIFA Street. So he went around basically around like all the slums in Brazil, just filming all these people having just having a laugh with the football. And now he's, I think he is one of the one of the top guys on Assassin's Creed now.
Mental.
Has he put Blackburn into filming the pirates? Europa League?
I think it's moved on to then.
He's the filming guy.
Yeah. That's mad, isn't it? Just going up, knocking on the door.
That does sound unbelievable. And you did start by saying, I got hammered with this guy. So,
but I've also...
How many details have been lost
No,
here?
No. But like, this is how this... If you look at this guy's thing as well, like he's like producer, FIFA Street. That was his first ever job. Mm-hmm. Never done anything before that.
Saturday job.
Well, he probably did stuff before that. But the same, like, I interviewed a guy at FIFA before, and he was like a Brazilian guy, and a similar thing where I was like, oh, how did you get this job? He's like, well, I was really into football. Like, I'd done production, not on games, before in Brazil, and then I moved here, so I got a job here. It's like, they just handed out.
That's pretty good.
Have you been hailed as a club legend by Colin Hendry like me? I don't think you have.
You, at some point, you're going to leave Blackburn. Have you?
I know. I'm a one club man. No, I wouldn't want to leave him behind. I've got a youth system.
Literally Blackburn until you die.
Until I win the Champions League. So give me a while. But I'm getting there.
Are you going to retire after that?
I don't retire. Nah.
How old are you? How old are you in the game?
In the game, well, I'm whatever I will be in 2024. What's that?
Oh, so your actual age?
Yeah, you can get
people
that
must
now.
Be losing their mind that you're doing so well.
Yeah,
you're like 25. So you're 31. Yeah,
it's good, isn't it?
I always.
Is anyone brought doing that up?
No, why would they bring that up? It's in the job I'm doing.
Because it's good. That's what I mean. Like, it's one of the kids.
It annoys me that they let you be a real age in Football Manager nowadays. Because I always measured the point at which I was old by the point at which Football Manager wouldn't auto-adjust my age anymore. Yeah. I was like, that would be a good day.
Because you put your own age in, presumably, at the beginning.
I think this is the first... I think the youngest you can be is 25, so I think this is the
first... So what happens if you're 14 and want to play it?
Well, the youngest me is 25.
Right, so you've got to put 25 in. Yeah. That must be because there is a 25-year-old manager
maybe,
somewhere.
Because I think
then,
he used to be 30, 31.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, that's only right, isn't it? You can't be 14 and managing a football
team. I mean, technically, that means you've got a really long career still ahead of you.
Exactly, yeah. You're foolish, aren't you, if you start at 70 and then after 6 years, you're like, oh, sorry, you've died.
Yeah.
So, give up.
That would be quite funny.
Yeah.
Would you?
It can't do that.
When you're in your twilight years, you get a little call-up from Craig Bellamy's son. For the Wales job. Would you go?
Only if they've brought the some real talent coming through. I'm not looking for an international post at the moment. I rejected Spain. They're offering me 105 grand a week.
Oh.
No, I don't need it because it literally is pointless.
Makes no difference in the game.
I think I'm on 45, 50 grand a week. It makes no difference whatsoever. I'd rather they put that money back into the wage budget. I'd do it for
free. Stick it back in the wage bucket.
If Blackburn called me now, I'd do it for free. I'd bring him up. Good.
Don't tell them that, because they're paying you 50 grand.
Hopefully next time I update
you're
people,
a terrible negotiator.
I will have made top four and we can...
Terrible. I'm putting that in the Cardi out, ? Terrible negotiator.
I tell you who's not saying Cardi out. Any of the Blackburn fans, they want me in.
I found out my work laptop can't run Football Manager 2018 and I thought it was considering quitting.
Really? I thought it was a good laptop.
I mean, it's good, but not in a graphics card way. It's wicked at scheduling tweets.
I tell you, cloud saves are a blessing, so if, you know.
That is good.
Right, yeah, Cardi, I'll be honest, you're on thin ice at the moment.
Not your thing, is it?
But one thing that could swing it, it's a little game that I like to call Keyword Countdown.
Is this it then? If I don't win, I'm gone.
No, I'm just saying if you do win, when we have the discussion later on, whether or not you're staying, it will come into play.
If you want me to stay, you have to lose.
No.
Did quite like having good. Two free desks next to
me. Yeah, you were just in the middle. That's so weird.
Well, everyone left around me.
Okay, so before that, on Christmas Day, we dropped a Kiwa Kana Christmas special, which one person on Twitter referred to as hashtag dead air. free extra podcast that you don't have to pay for and didn't replace another podcast, dead air.
And was people, presumably other than that, you enjoy listening to?
Yeah. Dead air, apparently. So, but anyone who did enjoy it, and there's a couple of people who did.
I did.
Thank you very much.
I didn't listen, because...
It's fucking pandemonium, that's why. But it was brilliant to record. It was. And it's right at the end of the year when we'd all given up as well. So we're boozing about 1 o'clock.
And we'd just seen Star Wars, so we'd... Great time, weren't
we? Oh, yeah, how the fuck?
I did enjoy every podcast starting with... Podcast beer?
Yeah.
those days
different
are gone.
Now. It's weird. It's only fucking week and a half.
Yeah.
But it's just different. Oh, it feels like the world is a different place, isn't it? So yeah, we did, well, you guys actually wrote a Christmas special of Keyword Countdown. Mm. 12 films, and you asked for people to write in and see if they could come up with
I didn't think it was too difficult, personally.
I didn't think it was
difficult. Especially if there were 12.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Around you listen Christmas. To the podcast, and as Joe very... like rightly pointed out as I went in, do not number them.
Yeah.
So if you listen to me, I keep running out of ways to say, the next one.
Coming up now.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Subsequently.
Yeah, there were 12. The link was, it was the 12 days of Christmas. I've actually got them all here, but I can't be asked to read them out. But yeah, they were very, very good.
It was slightly cryptic in a few places. Oh, but yeah.
What's the most? I think 11 Pipers Piping, They Live.
Yeah, starring Rowdy Roddy Piper. That was hard. Also, I think Turtle Doves and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a bit tough.
But I reckon, you know, if you got half of them, you could work it out from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that no one got
the answer. Quite a few people did as well. So we're going to read out, one person.
It just sounds like you're naming and shaming.
One. But we're going to read out some people who wrote in some good ones. And to be honest... we want to know
we haven't actually researched to see if you were also right.
Yeah. So Ben Brown wrote in saying, was the link those characters referring to themselves as birds, which I love.
Well, that's literally someone who's worked out partridge and gone, let's work backwards.
I'd like to know what the others are.
Yeah. Oscar Stewart, is the link of the most shouted out films in Keyword Countdown? I feel like they've all been said loads of times.
That is good. That's
very interesting.
I'd love that as a link.
Laurie Carla, each film's director has had a director cameo in one of their films.
That was the truth.
Each director has had an... Oh, they've cameoed themselves in one of their
own
films.
In one of their films, in that particular film, yeah.
Okay.
That's tenuous,
but it's probably right.
But we had a bunch of people who were correct. Callum Fisher, Patrick Doyle, Simon Brooke, but we did ask for people to write in. It was going to be the first person that wrote in. That's how we did it.
Gets the multi-million dollar prize.
Right. The person's names that I'm about to read out, they get $1.25 million. Woo-hoo. But I've just realized that... Oh, it is Boston, UK. Good.
Yeah.
Fuck. So I'll email you your code for $1.25 million in GTA 5.
Ooh. You did make clear in that podcast that it was for GTA 5, right?
Ultimately, I think.
Yeah, I brushed over it at the end.
Okay.
Because I just got, because I said it at the beginning, big, and at the end I went, $1.25 million in GTA 5 on PS4.
And if you,
and only in Europe. Yeah,
and if you don't play it, then it's a good Christmas present for next year.
Yeah. So the people who got it first, Laura and Zach from Boston, UK, say, hey, awesome IGN team. Firstly, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Hope you had a wonderful time so far. My partner and I love your podcast and look forward to Keyword Countdown each week. Dead ears, mate. We love your Christmas special.
That's not been nested in your brain all Christmas, has it?
Oh, mate, it's never gone away. And even though we probably won't be the first... It's not like
Laura and Zach speak.
There you go. Though we probably won't be the first to email our answer to the link, we wanted to take part anyway. We think the link is the 12 Days of Christmas. We got this around film 4. Thank you for a super podcast, and we hope 2018 is a fantastic year for you all.
Go through the first four.
First four.
That's the end.
Whiplash, They Live, Lord of the Rings, Showgirls.
Which order did you do it in, though? Did you do it in that order or the other way? I think you did it the other way. You started with Partridge.
It would have been Alan Partridge, Alpha Papa, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Chicken Run, The Birds.
That's yeah. easier. Those four
because they're right next to each other. Maybe.
But still, I think if you work out Partridge first,
That's so well done, Laura and Zach. I'll email you after this podcast is live, because imagine if they listen to this first and then they get the code after. Whereas if you just get the code, it's not exciting.
That's just over 600 grand each as well.
Mm.
So don't squabble.
I mean, it doesn't work like that in GTA Online, but go for it.
Don't squabble. No, but if they do play it online, one of you can take the money, one of you just go buy the other one a nice car or something.
Or if you play at the same time, you could take out 600 grand of your bank and have the other one kill you and take all your money.
There you go. Yeah. Laura, beat Zach to death, take your 600 grand, and don't write in moaning about it. But there we are. We've got a new season of Kiwa Countdown starting.
Oh, I forget it's a season.
So, if you don't know what Kiwa Countdown is, you would have not enjoyed the last 4 minutes of the podcast.
Probably dead air. Well, not funny anymore,
Cardi
is it?
Out.
Yeah, that's a problem, mate. Don't want to do that.
I enjoy it.
There we go. if you don't know what Keyword Countdown is, IMDb categorized their films by a bunch of crazy keywords. And what I've done, or what Ty Brass has done.
Ty Brass. That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, who's an American man.
Sounds like he's in one of those buddy cop films I like.
Yeah, he does. He's going to be 19. I've worked out from having a quick scan, because I always have a quick scan through people's Twitter just to make sure they're not racist. I don't want to read out Kiwa Countdown from a racist.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
not an idiot, boys.
I like that.
So I had a quick scan.
Film one, American History X.
He's a racist. But
Birth of a Nation.
He is 19 on the 25th of January.
Oh, well
happy
done.
Birthday
well done,
for
buddy.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
You can't be that age in Football Manager. Sorry, Ty.
No.
Oh, got it. Here we go then. What you guys have to do is guess what the film is by the 10 keywords. Mm. Here we go. Film number one. There's also a very good link between them all as well.
Ooh. Just a minute. I really need the toilet.
Okay. I can't believe this is happening. On the day that you might be losing your job, just go. Just go. Just go now. You're out. You're done.
You just got to the toilet.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm subbing in for Cardi. Just film
the toilet. That's ridiculous.
The worst part is he didn't give a shit. He didn't rush or anything. He's just walking.
I was taking a piss and he was still standing there laughing.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable.
Bad, isn't it?
We've literally made a whole part of this podcast about how he's not passed his probation yet.
Yeah, and whether or not he's going to stay in.
It's the same thing every time we're about to go outside and get lunch at one. Everyone's ready to go, and he's like, I'm
toilet.
Just going to nip to the bathroom for
about
20 minutes.
Cardi that says, oh, does everyone want to go get lunch? We say yes. We all walk out. Goes to the fucking toilet.
Let's see before he comes back.
Okay, yeah.
He's not listening back to this.
Well. All right, here we go then. Thin fucking ice. Film number one. Hoodlum. Rags to Riches.
Green Street.
Basketball Diaries.
Oh no, that's Riches to Rags.
Woman covering nudity with her hands.
Trading Places?
Yes! How did you know that?
Oh, I know my nudity. I just thought of
did you
Prince
see it?
And Pauper stuff.
Do you see it?
He's just gone out and looked at your DMs.
That's sweet. Nah. Ah, well done, Cardi. You've done what you needed to do, stay alive. Woman covering nudity with her hands. Jail Cell. Train Ride. 1980s. Brother-brother relationship. Two-word title. Stock market. Insider trading.
I haven't seen that film in ages, but I remember liking it.
I don't know if I've ever seen it. I think I've seen so many parodies of it or like mentions of it that I just think I know what it is.
Here we go. No opening credits. Lifting someone into the air.
Oh, come on. This is anyone.
Old Flame.
Mm.
Courtroom.
Runaway Jury.
Dead Man Walking.
12 Angry Men.
Two-Way Mirror.
Usual Suspects. Why would that be an Old Flame?
Primal Fear.
Reference to Slinky.
Mm-hmm. What is that? Toy Story.
Reference to He-Man.
Mm. Oh, this is going to be annoying, isn't it?
New York City.
A Few Good Men? No.
500 Days of Summer.
Statue of Liberty.
X-Men. X-Men 2.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Painting Comes to Life.
Oh, Ghostbusters 2.
This is 2.
Well done, Joe.
Go through those again.
No opening credits. Lifting Someone into the Air. Old Flame. Courtroom. Two-Way Mirror. Reference to Slinky. reference to He-Man, New York City, Statue of Liberty, painting comes to life.
Yeah, Statue of Liberty is the one I would have got it on if I was a bit quicker.
You mentioned 12 Angry Men, though. Darren Aronofsky's next film is, we were laughing about this last night, it's like untitled robot courtroom drama.
Oh, yeah, AI courtroom drama. Sounds interesting.
Oh, so is it going to be like... It's going to be the next logical step from like, self-driving car decides to run over a nun or a group of school children or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But imagine, like, I was thinking about
what
it.
What
kind
like, of robot really lie?
Yeah, we haven't had, like, a 12 Angry Men style thing. That's what Bright, the next Bright could be. 12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men is great.
But it's awesome, yeah. But you've got, like, one orc on
that's the a film they're going to remake one day, isn't it? And there's absolutely no need.
Yeah. Good film, I not with 12 Angry Men, though, I kind of feel like you could remake that well because it's a very, very good story. And it is it's so old that I think it would that's a barrier for people to watch it.
I suppose.
Which is silly, but it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there we go. Fucking remake that before you remake Spider-Man.
Just 12 Angry Robots.
12 Angry Robots. Done.
Women, 12 Angry Women. Progressive.
Here we go. Film number three. First part.
Godfather Part 1.
Kill Bill Part 1.
2000s.
The Matrix, that was nice.
Crossword Puzzle. Remake.
I'm having a shitter.
Unsubtitled Foreign Language. Love
that. Yeah, that's a good one. It's good, isn't it?
Fake Accent.
Batman Begins. Oh, good. Die Hard. No, that's 2000, not 2000s.
Card Dealer.
Ocean's 11.
Yes.
What's it a remake of?
Ocean's 11.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
The Rat Pack.
Dean Martin.
It's amazing.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's wicked.
Fair play.
It's really good. Genuinely good.
They're all good. I actually really like the remake.
Yeah. I think it's really good.
And Ocean's 12. Do you know what? I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Ocean's 13. No.
Nah, that's bad.
I don't like about Ocean's 12. They're just like, we're going to hit the same dude again.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I kind of.
What do you think about the trailer for Ocean's 8?
I really wanted to like it because I like a lot of the people in it, but it just didn't look good.
It looks like a shite, yeah. Mm. I want to really like it. But.
Is it 12 or 13 where everyone keeps talking about how Julia Roberts looks like Julia Roberts?
Yeah. 12, I think.
Yeah. 12.
13's the Pacino one, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's because she comes back into the number. She comes back into the fold.
Yeah,
she's basically 12, like, not really in the team in the first one, and the second one. It's like, she does look a little bit like her, doesn't she? Fuck
off. Weird joke there.
Rubbish. Cardi, you've got 12 points, 2 guesses. Joe, you've got 1.1 guess.
I forgot I'd even got that.
You got it, mate. You got it. Could be all difference. Could be all the difference. You never know.
Could be.
Oh, God, this is a hard one. Bay Area. Oh, sorry. Car dealer, Las Vegas, recruiting, heist. Oh, Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
There we go. Bay Area.
X-Men Last Stand.
American History X.
Written by director.
Godzilla.
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 Reference to the Food Network.
Oh. Chef.
San Quentin Federal Penitentiary.
Oh. When
do people there?
Walk the line?
Con Air.
Subjective Camera.
Maniac.
Looking at oneself in a mirror.
Taxi Driver.
Sounds like
Public Enemies. That was a film.
Death of a Dog.
John Wick.
Can't be.
Archive footage.
Fucking hell.
Brutality.
I mean,
is it a Spike Lee joint?
It's gotta be it's a prison film of some sort.
Final clue. BART officer. B-A-R-T. The San Francisco train thing.
Paul Blart.
Dirty Harry.
This was on a list, my list a couple of years ago, where I was like, I know I should watch it, but it looks heavy as fuck.
Watch? No.
I don't think either of you have seen it.
San Fran.
Fruitvale Station.
Would never have done that.
I really want to watch it as well.
No, I like
looking at it. Looks heavy.
Who's that? Who's in it?
Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah, he's the main guy. Yes.
Is that his break?
Who's the director? He's good, isn't
he? Yeah, he's doing Black Panther, he did Creed.
Oh,
that's it, yeah.
Coogler.
He likes Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, Coogler.
Yeah.
Here we go. He's a good, very good actor.
He is.
Film number five. So, Joe, you need
a tenner
and a link.
You need to, tenner and a link to tie
it. Okay,
up.
Okay. Oh, God, he's going to stay in.
Childbirth.
Shut up. Mother.
I'll give you a little bit longer just because it's funny.
Childbirth.
Oh, I don't. That's a bit much, isn't it?
Childbirth. I can't think of any birth. Grown-ups.
Based on novel.
Under the Skin.
Surprise ending.
Rosemary's Baby.
Yes.
Fuck.
I could have got that on
done.
One.
Yeah. Could have got it.
I really thought
that's
about
what I mean. When I said so, I hadn't read Childbirth.
It is similar to Mother as well, in a way.
And we've been talking about how it was similar to Mother.
What a film that is as well.
We literally talked about Rosemary's Baby today. That's why when I saw Childbirth, I was like, oh my God, you could actually get this. Well done, Cardi. It's another 8 points, mate. Banger.
Absolutely smashed it.
Absolute banger. 20 points for Cardi.
Very
this
lucky
week.
To trade in places.
Big.
I can't believe you got that. 20 points. But. Can any of you get the link?
Come right off Ty Brass.
Trading Places, Ghostbusters 2, Ocean's 11, Fruitvale Station, Rosemary's Baby.
Dan Aykroyd's in all of them.
They're all New York, are they?
No, they're not all Bay New Area. York.
And, I'm trying to think, Rosemary's Baby's got to be one with the clue.
It is, actually. Just of something that happens in there. It's quite prominent.
Okay, so it's not that.
Think about
what happens in Ghostbusters 2 that also happens in Rosemary's Baby?
Well,
it's an event.
An event?
Bridge.
Christmas dinner?
Down.
Something like that. Housewarming party? Dinner party? I'll try to think what happens in Rosemary's Baby, yeah.
Each of these films is set near or has a scene involving New Year's.
Makes sense.
That's why I picked it. So there we go. 20 points of Cardi, 3 guesses, 1 point of Joe, and 1 guess.
Load
well
of shit.
Done. Played, if you want to send me your keyword countdown, please do. That was a banger, I thought. I thought it was genuinely
good. That was
good.
Didn't like it.
A lot of good films and films I want to see as well.
Yeah, if you want to send me one, you can. DM me. I'm at Cameron Gav on Twitter. The best way of doing it is to put it into a Google document and make sure that I can and share it with me.
Yep.
Make sure that anybody can go through it.
Would it not be easy for you to make a template that people could download and then write in your format?
Then I've got to host that template somewhere.
It's not hard to make a Word document.
If it's just your IGN account.
But where do I put that?
Just put it on your drive.
People seem to have got it by now.
But then where's that link, though? I'd have to read out the link right now.
You just put it on your Twitter.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't want that
pinned tweet.
Pinned tweet.
Please
just
send me.
Do my work for me. all right, then. Let's get link. Some feedback,
I enjoyed
please.
That. Who's first?
It's good.
I don't know. I'm going to do it.
We haven't even numbered them, mate. So
I'm going to go first. This is from Scott Seal. Hello, all. Hope you all had a lovely Christmas and New Year.
Nice.
Did you?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Lovely, wasn't it? I work in the Apple Store on Regent Street.
Oi! Someone's earning.
Upstairs in the Genius Bar.
Ooh.
Genius and rich. Sounds like
a genius
catch.
To work here, but it helps.
I don't. If you live on Regent Street, even better. I mean. Actually, would you want to
read it out?
Regent Street?
I would, actually.
Obviously, we have a lot of celebrities come in, obviously.
Obviously. Yeah.
But I was completely gutted to miss John Hamm the other day. I would be. Seems like a lovely man. As Gav has not stopped going on about Mad Men.
He has for a bit.
Yeah. But now you've brought it back up, haven't
dead
you?
Dead air.
I watched loads of them over Christmas.
I was quite jealous when you did.
Well, this is what he did. It says, I finally took the plunge and binged the first few seasons of the show.
Nice.
And immensely grateful for the recommendation.
Nice.
It is the best program. So
it is brilliant. Well, that's what I texted you about it, because I watched the Christmas special, which is where Don is just fully off the rails.
Yeah. Oh,
so just does whatever the fuck he wants. And then after that, it just rolled into the next one. I was like, I'm just watching.
I love the idea that that's the Christmas special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they would.
Well, I actually wanted to watch the Christmas special where he says, Merry Christmas, sweetheart, to Peggy.
But it's not on Netflix.
It's not that one.
Oh.
I think it's earlier.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's over.
Well, for some reason,
quite
I thought
a
that
few
was
years.
Really late.
More than one Christmas, didn't they? Anyway, he was helping other customers complain about their phones.
Good.
When he looked over and he thought
Wait,
he
sorry.
Saw him.
He was
in the shop.
I thought you meant John Hamm was helping other customers complain about their phones. I was like, what? Yeah.
Nah. He swore he saw him. He walked past a couple of times doing other things and couldn't convince himself enough that it was him. But then he got stuck in a lengthy appointment and didn't get to say hello.
Oh.
I feel like I've let myself down. But most importantly, I've let Gav down.
Don't worry about it, man.
A colleague of mine said he was lovely, so I guess that's something.
Yeah. I feel like you've done... Don't feel bad about it, because
no.
I kind of feel like you're not meant to go over to people. I feel like if he hadn't come to you specifically, you can over and be like, oh my god, it's your heart.
What was that?
I feel like that's what Scott's doing.
No, fuck.
I feel like you going over and being like, oh hey man, I love John Hamm, I love you. I feel like that would have been kind of inappropriate. Or just so, like, don't worry about it.
My mate Gavlax,
yeah. Yeah. But yeah, well done. Awesome.
Yeah.
Did you watch his Travel Man thing with Richard
White? I did. I heard it was good. Yeah. I did not see it.
It's very charming. It's very charming.
It's just odd. They're an odd couple, aren't they?
There's no need to be an hour.
No, like, they're always very long.
Yeah, I could have done that. Yeah.
Hong Kong looks nice.
Does. Looks lovely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good.
I'd go there with John Hamm.
This one's from Nick. Just giving him the appropriate shuffle. Hi, all. First, oh no, this is just a nice thing to say about us. Well, he says something nice about us. Anyway, the other day, when looking for a movie to watch, I started thinking about what movies I hadn't seen.
Prestige.
I thought of this podcast and turned on Rush Hour. No, The Prestige. And wow, you guys were right.
Yes,
we were. What a fantastic movie. Probably my favourite of all Nolan I've seen. Correct. And to everyone who heard the spoilers on this podcast and haven't watched the film, do it anyway.
Yeah.
It's still amazing, and I promise there are still some good surprises.
Absolutely.
Now all I want to do is talk about The Prestige, but all my friends have already seen it quite a while ago. So hopefully this email prompts some good Prestige talk.
You can never watch it too many times, so get them to watch it again.
I said something the other day on the podcast. I rewatched when I was ill. And I said something that I actually think is incorrect now.
Go on.
So I watched it on New Year's Day. I was looking forward to it. I was texting you guys. So my girlfriend never seen it. So I was like, she's going to watch it for the first time on New Year's Day. She loved it, thankfully. Yes. And actually guessed mad stuff early on, which is insane. But, so what I said on the podcast the other day was, right at the beginning, when Michael Caine's character is Cutter, is in the dock.
Yes.
And they say to him, did Robert Angiers get to the Prestige part of the trick that night? And he said no. And he said, okay, well, what is the Prestige part? And he said, I can't say it here. He does say, I have the right to sell that on when I retire. So I don't want to say it out here. But actually, so what I said, and he says, okay, will you show me in private? And he says, yeah. And then there's a scene with the judge going with him to it. And then that leads into another scene. But my point was, he doesn't know how Angiers does his transported man trick. But basically, he does, but he doesn't know all of it because he has to know part of it because, one, he sees it, but two, when Ackerman, it's been years since I've seen real magic. Comes to think, they obviously see it happen there. So they must just think that Tesla machine actually transports him. They don't know that he's being cloned.
We need to get Nolan in, don't we? Yeah. We need these answers.
Mate, we had fucking Nolan. But Krupa's out there asking about fucking Dunkirk. What a waste.
Get us in with Circus. Where's the... What are the questions
not
going
not
to?
Not even that good.
Dunkirk's brilliant.
Dunkirk's all right. It's no Prestige.
Like, of course it's not Prestige.
But, yeah, so basically, they just think that Tesla machine actually transports him.
Yeah.
Because that's why Ackerman goes, you have to dress it up, you have to give him enough reason to doubt it.
Let's get Ackerman in.
We could probably get Ackerman.
I'd love to get Ackerman.
Yeah. He's, well, who is he? Gil on Frasier.
Fuck yes!
That's the only other thing I've ever seen that dude
do the Frasier podcast.
But yeah, so they just think that Tesla machine legit transports him.
Which is also mad.
Which is mad.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's no more mad than the actual what it is, I suppose. But then... What is Michael Caine's character saying to the judge? Oh yeah, this fucking machine just transports him over there.
Some Serbian prick made a summit.
It's real magic, mate.
But like the judge is like, all right, now I'm living in a world where this can happen. Brilliant.
What you just go? You're lying. You're going to jail as well. That's perjury.
There's also like there's also some mad stuff that happens as well where like Michael Caine can stop Christian Bale's character from getting hanged. Yeah, he can.
Yeah,
because he goes to visit with Lord Crawford, and who it turns out to be Robert Angiers.
Wait,
and
he's now, like fully ruined. All that.
The spoilers are over.
And he just goes, "Oh, well, I recognize her. I saw her in with Fallon. She's Christian Bale's daughter." And he goes, "What have you done?" And he said, and he basically says to him, "Oh, I came here to beg you to destroy the machine, but I'm not begging you for anything. All right, your next stop is going to the police. Yeah. We know you've got a personal relationship with the judge because you brought him to see the machine in the first place.
Is that pre-trial?
It's before he's about to be
hanged. You're making these claims, you have to watch it again and now make another apology.
It's not pre-trial, it's post-trial, but it's before he's hanged.
Oh, okay. Do you know what? It's been a couple of years since I've seen
Michael Caine can stop that from happening.
Abracadabra.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to, though, because Michael Caine's an evil bastard.
Chills when he says
that. But I realised as well that because I watched it on the original DVD that I bought when I was ill, but I realised I actually re-bought it on Blu-ray. And I watched on that, and there's a really cool set of features on it.
This is what I wanted you to talk about when you said talk about Prestige.
And one of the things that I noticed, and I sent a picture to you guys, is there's a, for some reason, at the end of the credits on this weird little shitty documentary, which is okay in some parts, but pretty shit. Mm. There's the production schedule, and the production schedule was like the book was written by a guy called Christopher Priest back in the 90s, and then obviously optioned for it. Like, and I think at one point Sam Mendes was going to do it.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah, and then Christopher Nolan ended up doing it. But basically, the final draft of the script was finished January 5th. Ooh, that's like coming up to a little anniversary. Mm. Was finished January 5th. The film had its premiere that year, like October.
Matt.
What? He's How's good. That getting
Christopher
done?
Nolan's good, isn't he?
That is insane.
That is turnaround.
Also, do you know something very, very cool? If we get to go, well, the next time we get to go to LA, like hopefully, like some of us get to go to E3, do you know how much of it was filmed in LA? so much of the actual theatres.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because
that's weird, isn't it? Why wouldn't you use London?
Well, apparently a lot of the
old style London theatres are kind of gone, I guess.
And there's lots of
I suppose they're constantly under. They're constantly doing plays as well.
They also had like more backlot stuff as well, because like lots of the British, lots of the London stuff is there, even though it's set in London. For some reason. But one odd thing is they refer to the theatres by American theatres' names, even though it's in. So like
what, the Pantages is an American theatre, isn't it?
Yeah.
I should read the book one day. I don't know. Do you know anyone who's actually read
it? Yeah, I've read it, yeah.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Is the book good?
It's worth reading. It's very different.
Oh, okay.
There's like modern bits.
Mm.
Because it basically talks about rivalry that goes to the core of a family. Like. Throughout the years, basically.
Maybe that's Prestige 2. Imagine if Nolan's next film Prestige 2.
But also, it deals a lot with, this is really good, there's a lot more of the actual rivalry stuff, of them getting at each other, and early on as well. And because a lot of them, what they used to do was they used to do a lot of seances and stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
as
magicians, they would go to the seances, and they were ruining each other's seances.
Very mischief, good. Isn't it?
Very good.
I like the idea of them being a bit more cheeky.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You get them going out because, I mean, at one point, Christian Bale fucking breaks a woman's fingers.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's a laugh.
Rivalry. Obsessions. Young man's game, isn't it? Here we go. This is from Ryan Morton. Hello, IGN legends. He says that. I just want to start by saying thank you for all your great content, blah, blah, blah. He's very nice. I didn't realize that. On to feedback. Discussing the best superhero film. So that's something that you guys did on the Big Fat 2017 review.
Yeah.
Not even a mention of Logan.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Sort and that's the one I probably should have seen.
My bad.
I'll put my hands up there.
What's your beef with Logan?
No beef.
Yeah,
love
I know
it.
You love it.
It's fantastic. Just forgot it came out in 2017.
Yeah.
Came out so early. It's going to happen to Black Panther this year. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure I put it above whatever one for us.
Guardians.
I think Guardians won.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd say it was better than that, but
it's a very good film, very good indeed.
Yeah, I'm gonna rewatch it again because Kruber gave me the Blu-ray for it, and on that it's got Logan Noir, so you can watch it in black and white.
Of course,
I might borrow that.
Be good,
might you?
Yeah,
still
I'm totally
work here.
Ryan says I'm totally with Rory on Guardians Volume 1 being better than Volume 2, and that Rocket Raccoon is a twat. I am confused why Joe, if he didn't like Baby Groot, is looking thankful that Groot is a teenager now. Well, it's because he didn't like Baby Groot and he's not a baby anymore.
That's correct.
I love Baby Groot, though.
Do you?
Big fan of Baby Groot.
I hate Baby Groot.
I didn't hate it. I'm cringing now just thinking about all the shit stereotypes that'll probably be used
now,
for a teenager Groot, I suppose.
That's totally fair, but yeah. They have not yet used them.
Yep.
Like, he might just be Groot again.
Yeah, I think they did.
But in
they did
the
use
Infinity
some,
War it, trailer, he was teenager.
Yeah,
he?
But they...
Is he?
They went in that one shot.
Yeah,
in
he's
the,
teenage.
In, but in the end of Guardians 2, in those credits,
they
he
had
is
him
like...
being a video yeah. game playing teenager. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. If they do that, it'll be shit. My happiness is he's not Baby Groot anymore.
Yeah.
It'll be great. To have something else and the potential for it to be good.
You should grow up, learn to speak.
Like
tree.
Even
he is speaking.
Groot in the first.
That's a language. He is speaking.
Yeah,
but you know, speak my language.
Groot in the first
Love.
Film.
Yeah.
Groot in the first film made me cry.
Yeah,
I want Groot to make me cry again. Not do stupid dances.
No, he was adorable.
The thing that I didn't understand is even though it's Baby Groot. And obviously you've got to use Vin Diesel. They basically just made him sound really chipmunky. He's like, use a fucking child to do it.
Yeah, there
How
is
about
no
that?
Need for Vin Diesel. That's
yeah.
That's a lot
it's,
of budget.
It's a funny
needed.
Little thing that he does it.
I'd do
but,
it.
And it, you don't sound like a five-year-old either.
And he did.
I could.
He did performance capture for the
I'd
first
do it for
one,
half
right?
what Vin Diesel's doing it.
I don't know. No, it's... Oh, no. Rocket is played by James Gunn's brother. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who does Vin Diesel. I'm pretty sure he probably did.
Okay.
I don't know, though. I don't know.
I thought it was, which made sense in that case, but yeah.
I do know that he recorded I Am Groot for every single language that Guardians goes out in.
Really?
I do know that.
That's good of him.
Yeah.
You know, good on him.
Good on him, mate, yeah.
Good on you. Good on you for listening.
Yes, thank you very much. If you want to write in, you can. IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com.
Yeah.
That's it. See you next week.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Bye.
What's a good chicken meal?
That's not like stir fry.
Yeah, I have stir fry a lot.
Depends how healthy you want to be.
I want to be healthy.
Mm, could put, it's still cheese, but you could put a bit of feta cheese. Oh, yeah, that's what you can do. You can put feta and pesto in between a chicken breast.
Ooh, that sounds good.
That is nice. Feta's, I feel like feta's okay.
I did, yeah. I did, what did I do yesterday? Like garlic... oregano and cayenne.
Oh, nice.
And just like half a teaspoon of oil. So yeah, went
That's
in.
Fantastic.
And then I cooked that and it was real nice.
That's really good.
That's a good idea, actually.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.